T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe on EEI.
Here we go. 4th and 14. Buffalo at the 18 of the New England Patriots in the shotgun with 3-1. Allen looks over the defense, got the shotgun snap. They rush 5. Here comes the blitz. He throws a line drive pass. Batted down at the 1. Batted down on the hash mark by Miles Bryant at the 1-yard line, just outside the goal line. And New England's defense does it again, stopping the Buffalo Bills deep in their own zone. And on downs it goes to New England.
That's what it sounded like last night on Monday Night Football, 12:02, lunchtime hour of Gresh and Keefe. We're going to get right back to you on these phones to drink in those Bills fans' tears. Joining us now on the Harbor One hotline, here's a guy who was a part of skunking that Buffalo running game last night, Lawrence Guy, with us on the Harbor One hotline. And Lawrence is brought to us by Falmouth Lumber, your Anderson window dealers. Lawrence Guy, good afternoon, friend. That was pretty awesome last night.
Oh, it was amazing, especially with the wind, the little slight snow. It was the best environment for a game. And on top of that, we're in Buffalo, so you know the crowd is going crazy. So it's one of those games that you're like, hey, this is what football is about.
Have you played any game like that weather-wise? I know you've played in some weird ones in your time in the league, but just that windy, because I know a lot of players said it really wasn't that cold, but the wind was a massive factor.
No. When we played the Jets, I want to say 19 or 18, what was that, negative like 7 or 8 in the stadium with the wind chill. I'm like, man, that was cold. This one was super windy. So we came out before the pregame to get you a little exercise, and you just felt the wind just hit you. You're like, oh, man, this is going to be a fun run game. But I never experienced that much wind before. It was unreal.
Lawrence, when you get to the stadium and realize what the conditions are, does going into the game, does the game plan start to change? Does the discussion start to change? Or were you guys pretty prepared for here's what it's going to be and here's how we think it's going to go?
You're like, hey, this is what's going to be. The weather report says this. But like you said, you don't know until you get to the stadium. Like in the hotel, we saw the wind. So we're like, oh, we understand. It ain't going to be a big throwing the ball game. They're going to have some passes, but this is going to be a traditional ground and pound game. Then once you get in the stadium, you feel all that wind hit you. You're like, yeah, it's going to be a running game. If they got the wind, they might throw the ball, but nothing too crazy. But it's one of those that, like, you already start preparing your mind. And you're like, okay, this is what's going to be. There's going to be some other plays and trickery in there. But the basis of the game is going to be possibly a running style thing. And that relies all up front. So, like, hey, up front, you got to do your job. You got to make sure they don't get anything going.
Now, you were dead on about it being a running game, no more so than on your offense, which Mac Jones only threw the ball 3 times. If you were on the other side of that and it was clear that they were only going to run against you and yet you couldn't stop it, how demoralizing would that be?
I'm not on the other side of that, so. but I can tell you this.
Hypothetically,
I can tell you this. To be an offensive lineman and to understand that the defense knows exactly what you're doing. And then, like, yeah, he threw the ball like 3 times. So to be an offensive lineman and be like, hey, they know we're running the ball. They're loading the box. Oh, that's impressive right there. So they came out and showed out on the offensive line this week because everybody knew what the game plan was. They're like, they're running the ball. So they loaded the box and they still was able to gain a whole bunch of yards and do their block. So, like, to be one of them, like, that was impressive for that night. It was a really big game for our offensive line.
Lawrence Guy, the New England Patriots, with Gresh and Keefe here on the Harbor One Hotline. And our interview with Lawrence is brought to you by Verizon. You guys weren't just good in the red area last night, Lawrence. You were great. Why? What worked?
We was a do-your-job game. You saw everybody contributing in their way. I said the biggest play of the night was Miles knocking down that ball in the red area. Solidify the win, but it's like one of those aspects is like, hey, everybody do your job. Everybody understands what we got to do. Eliminate the big plays, and I think we're all on the same page of competing every single down. Yeah, we got some penalties against us that some might say, oh, that's not fair, but we moved on. It's like, okay, let's move on from the penalty. Let's move on from Josh Allen running. Let's continue to control what we can control. And as long as you control what you can control and do what you're able to do, the outcome is always going to be good. And I felt like that's what we had on our mindset. Like, we went on the sideline, we got the adjustments, we kept going. We understood what the game was going to be. And like I said, that was an exciting game. We got two good teams playing each other, and they just going back-to-back plays. It's like, hey, what's going to happen? You just saw both front sevens just going at it back and forth. And that's why I said it was an exciting, must-watch game. But if anybody in the NFL or anybody that looks at the game says that wasn't a game that you wanted to play in or watch, I don't know what type of football you'd like to see.
First quarter, you had the fumble recovery. What goes through your mind when you see that the ball's out?
When I went through, I was like, oh, I'm going to get a tackle. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this tackle for loss. And when he dropped it, I was like, all right, I'm going to jump on it. Then the offensive lineman grabbed my finger, and I'm like, in my head, I was like, all right, he's pulling my finger. I don't know if he knows I'm double jointed. Then I started looking at him. I was like, hey, I'm a big man, too. I got a belly. I'm just going to lay on it. He was like, what? I said, I'm laying on it. You ain't going to get me off the ball. He started laughing. I said, you just give up. It's a wrap. It's over. Mm-hmm. He's like, trust me, you can have my hand. You still ain't getting this ball.
What's better for a defensive lineman like yourself when you have an open shot at the quarterback and it looks like you're about to grab a sack, or when you see the ball is out and you can pounce on a fumble?
Both are great.
Well,
let's be honest. Like, mm-hmm. Open shots to the quarterback is amazing. But it's one of those, like, when you see the ball on the ground, it's a 50-50 shot that you might be able to pick it up and run a couple of yards.
There we go.
That's what I was waiting for, the scoop and score.
Because bigs don't normally get a chance to get the pill number one.
That's right.
And when they do, there's always that thought that runs through your mind of, let me scoop this up and see what I can do.
100%. But the best thing about it is, like, everybody went to South, like, hey, why did you scoop and score? I said, we're behind the line of scrimmage in the red zone. Like, let's just keep it safe. Because if I try to pick it up and I miss, like, they just get the ball back. Let's just get an offensive ball and make sure they make some moves. But, like, in another time, like, when you're in that open field, you got to try to pick it up and go. There's no other way. So you can do a touchdown there.
So hitting the bye week in week 14 is as late as it's ever been, obviously, with the extra week of the season. But what's the schedule look like for you now between, today till the next time you guys come back on the field?
You know, we still got to go there, get your treatment, get your film in, self-scout and do that. But, right now it's just about recovering and understanding your opponent that's coming up. It's a late bye week. So we've been grinding at it since July, just going at it. But that's a lot of kudos to us of this constantly getting our treatment in, getting our recovery and studying. And that's what you've got to do. It's like, you have to continue with that treatment, studying and understanding what the last couple of games means to the season, you know? So you have to just keep that professionalism and, like, hey, we're going to have to keep it up and keep the energy going.
Lawrence, we do want to ask you about something real life. However, you kind of buried the lead in that answer there off of Rich's question. Touchdown dance? Whoa. Do you have one in the back pocket ready to go?
If I ever get a touchdown, we'll see. I was close a couple of years ago with the interception, but Landry grabbed my leg. But if I ever get one, we will see. Like, what comes to mind?
Oh, I guarantee there's something.
Oh, yeah.
There.
You've got some choice. It's really just keeping the other guys from jumping on you, too, right?
Like, you need whatever space. You need space. Unless it's like a whole team.
You know, because remember, when I got in the league, my old head was BJ Raji, and he just got that touchdown the following year, and he did the Raji dance. So, like, hey, you always got that in the back of your mind, what's going to come up.
We want to congratulate you on being the Patriots nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And at Patriots on Twitter did a really nice piece. I don't know if you got to see it this morning, Lawrence, where Robert Kraft presented you with the Patriots Walter Payton Man of the Year nomination. We have talked to you about the great work that you and your wife have done in the community. What does being the nominee for such an award mean to you and your family?
Oh, it's an honor. Those are one of those things that me and my wife strive to get back to the community. And the platform the NFL creates is a huge opportunity to do it. And I think to be nominated for an award for a man that did that. Like, that was his image. He left a legacy behind. And I think to be honored to be in that same class as all those individuals is amazing. But it's one of those things that it's – when you're able to use your platform to have awareness for people that are striving to be better and better themselves, and you can use your words to speak up against certain actions and certain abilities to help somebody strive to be great, it's always a blessing, you know. I'm just truly honored that I was actually nominated for this. So I was shocked and I was happy at the same time. I was saying with my wife, but I tell people all the time, is me and her are a team. We do everything together. And when we come up with these ideas of how we're going to get back to the community, how we're going to change people's lives, and hopefully they change people's lives from the event that they go to, this is always one of those things. Like, you just strive to be the better person that you can be to everybody that's around you, because you never know what might happen in life, where you might fall. And that one person that might come in and help you out might just change your life for the better.
Well, good on you, and congratulations to you and your wife and your family and all the great work that you have done. And a much-earned rest, friend. Go get it. Thanks a bunch. Great victory last night. We'll talk to you soon, Lawrence Guy. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence.
And I would dare say that Lawrence Guy being nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year is our Dan O'Brien key takeaway of the week. Brought to you by the Dan O'Brien Auto Group. Come into any Dan O'Brien Auto Group store today and get your awesome protection plan, keeping it awesome. And as much as we are giddy over the victory, you know, we've talked a lot with Lawrence about the great work that he's done in the community, and that is bigger than any win or performance on the football field. And at Patriots on Twitter, we'll try to retweet that out from the Aggression Keefe account as well, so that you could see Robert Kraft was in front of the team. It didn't happen, obviously, over the past couple of days, and the players aren't in today.
Right.
So this must have gone down, I do believe, on Friday. But that
it's a great honor,
well,
though.
And a part of what you heard there from Lawrence is what Robert Kraft said is using your voice, you never know who you're going to impact.
Well, and we, like, locally, we've all been aware of how much Lawrence Guy has done for the community. Like, you see it. We've talked to him about it. We've had the honor to do that. And then once you are the team nominee, though, I think it becomes even a more national level. And again, these guys, I know they don't get into it for the recognition. I understand that. But it is a nice honor. And it's become a really important award for these guys, too. And what is it, Super Bowl week? They honor all 32 guys across the league. And then they do name one. And it's like, you're comparing, like, oh, you're more generous than this guy. It's like, whatever. Like, they all deserve it. Like, it's all really important that these guys are spending the time, their money, resources, and all of that to give back and, like, literally change people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, that's what they're doing.
Good stuff there by Lawrence Guy. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Gresh Keefe and subscribe to the podcast which you can find at WEEI.com. Well, you know, Keefe, I have a funny feeling that last night
in Buffalo, their fans were thinking Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, the New England Patriots went to Buffalo and snatched their souls. However, for Bills fans, we want to maybe, I don't know, brighten your mood a little bit.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Buffalo, you lost to the New England Patriots once again. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to be hanging from the bathroom. Don't ask me to do nothing. This is nothing. I'm going to kill myself.
It's too extreme.
Well, taking it well.
Yeah, you know.
Taking it real well.
They couldn't fulfill those Super Bowl dreams, but.
Not yet.
We figure we might as well help them out and see. What would it sound like if?
That's what it kind of feels like. In front of your home crowd, too. I mean, we were talking about people were tailgating at 7 in the morning for that one. Sal Sports is taking the day off.
I need like, a it's refill just, on my good. Pink my pink tears. Bills tears.
Bills tears. Need-
yeah, that's
so
just
great.
That's just a tough one. And by the way, things are turning quite nasty as well. I don't know if you saw
please.
This.
Oh, please do. You told me about this in the off-air show. This is juicy.
So Sean McDermott, and I saw Tommy Kern retweet this. So Sean McDermott, again, I think pitched a little bit of a fit afterwards. We played some of his audio. He's like, let's not give Belichick too much credit. And so he also made some moves as far as who was going to be returning punts.
Yeah, by the way, let me throw myself under the bus. NFL Sunday, the two wide receivers that they sat down, I was like, no big deal. Turns out it was.
Turns out a big deal. And I think this could be the start of, all right, is there going to be some infighting with the Bills? Because, again, you're the division champs from a year ago. You think the future is really, really bright. You come back the next year. They're 7-5. They're trailing the Patriots. McDermott's getting all pissy in the postgame. So one of the guys who covers the team tweeted out late last night, McDermott also said he didn't trust having Isaiah McKenzie or Marquez Stevenson back returning punts in this weather. That's something. That's what the reporter tweeted. Isaiah McKenzie responds to that tweet, damn. All he wrote was, damn.
Like Ron Simmons in WWE.
Yeah.
Damn.
But this to me is what happened is Sean McDermott was so flustered with how the game went that he forgot even the coach speak of it, which, again, he made a change. Clearly, that's the reality, right? If you're going to be like, you're not returning punts, this guy's returning punts. We can all deduce that you trust player B more than player A, right? The guy that you're replacing with, you trust more. But to just straight up say that, and now your team's like, well, wait a minute, what? Like, why would you put that out there? Like, how does that help the situation? So I think McDermott's frazzled, and if some of the players on the team start to doubt him a little bit, great. They're just going to eat each other, and then they're going to be even less of a threat.
Here is the quote you referenced from Sean McDermott after the game.
Sean, what went into the decision to make both Marquez and Isaiah inactive? Was it just weather-related?
The same reason that they turned it over. The same reason that they turned it over on their punt return team, I wasn't willing to do that. So I want to put a guy back there that I trusted that was going to make good decisions with the ball. So, Matt, go ahead. Good? All right, thanks, guys.
Now, what a hard-ass answer, by the way.
That was under the bus.
Oh, tosses, like, buries those guys, trying to also take a shot at Belichick in there. Be like, oh, yeah, it worked out really well for him. See, he screwed up his punt team. I wasn't going to screw it up like he did. So, like, all right, even still, he screwed up the punt team, led to your only touchdown, and you still couldn't win. But he buries his own guys. He tries taking a shot at the Patriots. It's just such a hard-ass answer. And those guys were, after one, I guess two winning seasons, now things are starting to not go their way, and they're freaking out. They are freaking out.
You could tell. You could see that in the first quarter of that game, Sean McDermott was not, he was coaching it like it was an AFC title game or a Super Bowl. And how many times did you see him yelling at officials, yelling at his team, you know, doing the whole hard-o, man, here we go.
That challenge on the Mac Jones sneak, too, was just desperation.
And not only does it cost them a timeout, but I do believe it was it Milano who got hurt late in the game
Late in the game.
No, that's the thing is that if he doesn't burn the timeout on the challenge he's at least got another one to try to preserve 20 seconds. But in the end, not only do they lose the timeout because of injury, he whizzed one away on the challenge. And, you know, McCorkle's got the ability to take three steps backwards and kneel it down and it's over.
Terrible. Terrible. I mean, he was in his own head for the entire time like that. Just not ready for prime time. More so like Sean McDermott was less impressive than even Josh Allen, because Josh Allen, you're saying, all right, here's a game where the opposing quarterback's not throwing at all because the wind is just brutal. It's going to be more of a running game. And Allen, I thought, was able to, even though he only completed 50% of his passes, again, anybody watching the game kind of grades that a little bit on a curve. I thought he handled himself fine. And if anything, Daboll, McDermott, whoever you want to put on it, probably more Daboll, should have just trusted Josh Allen more and been like, you do it. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss and Matt Breida are useless. So, hey, Josh, you're going to throw it. If there's a little bit of a breakdown, feel free to tuck it and run. That was their best chance, and they kind of went away from that.
It's pretty amazing when you think about how these coaches react to coaching against Bill Belichick.
Let's not give him too much credit.
I mean, he went the other way. Like, yeah. I know I've hammered Sean McVay for the, yeah, I'm against Bill. This was the other way. It was, you know, my God, we're good, we're there. You could say, honestly, and I think you're right. I really do think you're onto something, that you've got guys who are tweeting about comments from the coach. You have the coach who, I'm going to bet that today at some point, Sean McDermott is going to do a press conference where he's kind of calmed down a little bit, mm-hmm. and he's realized some of what he said, and he's either going to have to find a way to shape it so he doesn't lose his group, or he's just going to have to do the mea culpa and say he got caught up in the emotion after the game.
Yeah, he might, and it'll be interesting. I don't know if the players really like him, if they don't. I have no idea, but just these public comments, it makes you think one way. Also, that's the kind of loss that could get both sides of the ball snippy at each other.
Oh, yeah.
Because the defense was already puffing their chests out because the two safeties were asking if it was embarrassing. We played that earlier. We don't have to play it again. But they were basically just like, oh, I'll remember that. And like, we only allowed one touchdown. Rah, 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 rah. So that whole thing. So they're thinking to themselves, we only allowed one touchdown. Hey, offense, why didn't you win? The offense can be like, they just ran the ball. How did you not know they were? We all knew they were running. You guys couldn't stop it? Because on the surface, if you're like, hey, they held the Patriots to 14 points, you would say, all right, well, that's the Bills offense's fault. But when the offense is so dumbed down and it's hand it left, hand it right, hand it left, hand it to whatever side Harry's on, oh, there's an extra tackle in here, you could see the offense getting pit. Like, both sides of the ball have the chance anyway to start to snipe at each
Love
other
it.
A little bit.
Love
no, it's
it.
Great.
Let them crumble out there in Western New York. Shaq Mason, Patriots O-lineman, scheduled to join us next. First, here's Shime. He's trendy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Two tight ends, got the snap, pitch out near side, Harris, tight end block, fullback block, breaks tackle, 40, on the number at the 50, foot race to the 40, going to the hash mark, the 30, a foot race to the 20, down the middle, 10, 5, touchdown! A burst by Harris, up the middle he goes, and finds a 64-yard gap, and the Patriots on top here in the first quarter, 5:18 to go, 6-0, an explosive move by Damian Harris.
Kevin Harlan, the call on Westwood One. Patriots win on Monday Night Football. They now head into the bye with the number one seed in the AFC. And for the numbers last night, it finished at the Patriots with 46 carries for 222 yards. Take away five of those carries because of Mac. Well, one went forward. A bunch went backwards.
If you went backwards, it was time.
Mac minus 3 yards rushing on the night, which shrunk that number which would have been a nice tidy 225. One of the guys paving the way for this rushing performance joins us now on the Harbor One Hotline. Shaq Mason with Gresh and Keefe, and he's brought to us by Zuti. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details, by Falmouth Lumber, your Anderson window dealers, and by Boston Beer, truly hard seltzer. Well, Shaq Mason, congratulations are in order to not only you and your teammates, but really the Largos, the Fats, the Blubberhood, whatever you want to call it. You big boys were moving people around last night, Shaq Mason. Congratulations on a hell of a performance. Did you feel like you were back at Georgia Tech last night with all these run plays?
Absolutely, man. That was fun last night. I know I definitely haven't ran the ball that much since I was at Tech, so definitely fun.
Well, it's funny, I looked it up. The Orange Bowl, which I believe was your last game, Georgia Tech beat Dak Prescott in Mississippi State, and Georgia Tech ran the ball 60 times and threw it, I think, 12. Threw 12, ran it 60, so you're definitely ready for that. Could you sense at all, Shaq, that the front for Buffalo was getting frustrated as the game went on, and it was just running play after running play after running play?
I would say it was all a mentality. They're a talented front, no doubt about it. But I think once we knew the conditions, we knew the game plan, and it was just a mentality that all six of us, including Mike, just took to the game. Like, we know what it's got to be. They know what we're going to do. We know what we're going to do. It's just, about moving a man against his will.
Shaq, when you got there, right, you're in the hotel, the wind, it's whipping around. Then you get to the stadium, and you realize what it is like just before kickoff. Kind of walk us through what was going through your mind once you got to the stadium and just realized how bad the conditions were.
Well, I know when we first got to the stadium, I couldn't really tell. I had on a jacket, I was pretty warm. So, pregame, I go out, a little earlier than the rest of the team does. So I went out and, I was like, it's pretty cold out here, wind blowing. I think it was snowing at that point. So when I came back into the locker room, I was, I looked at Dave and I was like, yeah, man, it's about to be a cold one, So we kind of just laughed about it because we both realized, it's about to be cold and windy today. But it was a great atmosphere, though.
What's that adjustment like? Because you are not alone. So many players on the team are from the South, played college football in the South. And then you come up to New England where we look at it like, oh, what a big home field advantage it is for the Patriots, because this is what their home environment is. But for so many of you guys, you're used to kind of warm weather. How quickly can you turn that into an advantage, or how quickly do you become comfortable playing in the cold? Or are you ever comfortable in the cold?
I would say a big thing to that is the fact that we practice in these type of conditions and we, work in these type of conditions, and it goes a long way because, we barely ever use the indoor. So we're out in it. We're out in the cold. No matter what it does outside, we're going to be outside in it. And I think that goes, goes a helping hand in these type of games.
Shaq Mason with Gresh and Keefe here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. The stuff you were running was not super complicated, it didn't seem. I know some call it G lead, which means the guard is pulling. What do you like more, just decimating somebody one-on-one straight up in front of you, or getting out and running and being able to kick somebody out or really run somebody over in space?
I can't say I have a preference with either one of those. I just like running the ball.
Well, last night was a good night for you, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
It seems like you guys, again, the offensive line, knock on wood, the last few weeks has been pretty healthy, and you've been able to put out, the group consistently now for several weeks. But it also seems like, in a way, you have almost six starters for five spots. But last night, with so many extra offensive linemen in there and Michael Onwenu got to play, how good was that for this group to have six offensive linemen play for the majority of the game?
It was awesome. It was great to get, you know, all of us on the field at the same time because, you know, like you said, it's you know, six starting caliber offensive linemen. And to have us all on the field at the same time, you know, we all have continuity, camaraderie. So it was great. It was great.
Shaq, I know that you have fullback Jakob Johnson. You've got a wide receiver in N'Keal Harry who really take pride in their blocking as well. But how important is it for you, five, or in this instance, six up front, to really kind of set that tone for everybody else and just maybe some of the work that the non-offensive linemen did in terms of the rushing performance last night?
I think, you know, when you think of the run game, it all starts with, you know, the offensive line moving people. And, you know, when you look deeper into it, you see that you got Jakob kicking out. You got, you know, N'Keal crack blocking. You got Kobe coming in and, you know, blocking. So it's like, you know, it all ties hand in hand. But, I mean, all the glory when you run the ball goes to the O-line. But, I mean, it's all 11, honestly.
Did you know you were taking the soul of the city of Buffalo last night? Like, did you, like, even towards the end of the game, Shaq Mason, did you feel that you were just snatching the life and the soul out of not only that team, but that fan base as well? Come on now, you can admit it.
It was a great feeling just knowing that, like I said, knowing that they knew what we were going to do and the fact that, you know, we were doing it on our terms. There's no greater feeling than that as an offensive lineman.
So what now? What do you got planned for the bye? I know rest, but you going anywhere? You got anything going on, or are you just kind of hanging out?
Just hanging out. I'm going to go be with the fam.
Oh, there we go. Well, enjoy that time, Shaq Mason. Thanks for the time today. Amazing performance by the offensive line last night. Thanks a bunch. Number one seed in the AFC going into the bye. We'll take it, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Shaq Mason.
So I love going through these rabbit holes of, you know, old college games and box scores and everything else.
I'm in.
So Georgia Tech, Mississippi State, the Orange Bowl, 2014. They were both top 10 teams. This is Shaq Mason's final game. And again, Georgia Tech just would run the ball nonstop. So it was Dak Prescott on the other side. And it's amazing the two different styles. So Georgia Tech ran as a team for 452 yards.
Jeez.
Dak Prescott threw for 453.
Oh, my God.
And the final score was 49-34. Georgia Tech won. They had two guys go over 100. One of them was their quarterback. They each had three rushing touchdowns. Dak had three different receivers go for over 100 yards. Like, what a different style. But you're right, because I remember when they drafted Shaq Mason saying, all right, well, we know he's a good run blocker, but he's never had the pass block. But obviously he's picked that up too. But
and it's interesting in that, you know, the offense that he played in, mm-hmm. for those who maybe are wondering, how in the world do you run it that much? That was the old Georgia Southern spread offense. Like, the original spread offense was really what Navy runs, even now.
It is.
Under
yeah.
Kenny Amatalolo, where yeah. you got your wing backs and it's a bunch of motion. And it's really, it's in a lot of ways, it's kind of like the triple option, but, you know, they would call it the spread offense. Then it turned into more wide receivers. And now we know a different meaning in terms of there are different kinds of offenses like that. But, man, oh, man, that was, I mean, seriously. And you know what? In just watching some of the highlights while we were talking to Shaq, that's why I wanted to ask him about the kickout block, because I saw one where he got a DB and he swallowed him.
You can hear him talking about, like, he just loves run blocking. Like, loves run blocking. So it means a lot to him. And when you have two running backs going the way that they're going, it was just domination.
And Trent Brown has been massive.
Yeah,
no pun.
No, he has.
In his return, he's been smoking fools out there. And quite honestly, I thought, okay, do you put him on the left side? When you look at Trent Brown and Shaq Mason on the right side, they're just killing people.
Well, it's funny, too, because last night during our bonus NFL Sunday pregame, yes, you mentioned, you're like, do you think we'll see Michael Onwenu as a third offense or a third tackle or a sixth offensive lineman? It's like, yeah, a bit. He played more than half the plays. Onwenu was out there for 61% of the snaps. And honestly, it felt like more.
Yeah, it did.
It was 31 of 51 plays he played. But I'm actually surprised that he was off the field for 20 snaps. didn't feel like that at all.
And it was a big Jonnu game. Hunter Henry really did not get a lot of run in this one. And you look at the snap count.
No, Bourne barely played. Henry barely played. Jakob Johnson played about 50% of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was definitely like, here's what we're going to run, and we're not going to change it up, and you have to stop us.
Now, I admit that I didn't realize that Jacoby Myers ended up getting in there on 27 snaps. I would have thought N'Keal Harry was leading the way. He was just short. Nelson Agholor played 25% of the snaps.
I don't even remember that at all. Don't remember that at all is right. Well, again, there's only three pass attempts, and normally you notice the receivers when they're, I don't know, catching the ball.
Well, or... we would also notice if they were like out in formation, but instead it felt like
I just remember Harry lining up as sort of like a split and then just kind of cracking in and nobody else really doing much.
Oh, God, this is great stuff. Folks, in the 1 o'clock hour, it is all about us having discussion, piling on these Buffalo Bills. Piling on Bills Mafia. If you didn't hear some of what Sean McDermott said after the game, we will get to all of that as well at 617-779-7937. If you have been listening to, Shaq Mason and Lawrence Guy and us, and you've wanted to get in, this is your chance. Get in line right now, 617-779-7937, because there is other stuff going on in Boston sports tonight, including Keith's favorite basketball player and part owner of the Boston Red Sox against the Celtics. We'll touch on that next.
You know you can watch Gresh and Keith laid the wood to somebody.
Just go to weei.com/watch or twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
LeBron James in November was asked about your criticism. He said you're not someone he will give his energy to. He went on to say that you had an opportunity to speak with him after a game, but instead you walked by. He said you're trying to use him to create an opportunity for yourself.
I mean, it's unbelievable because, first of all, I did see him on the court, but the tunnel thing, I actually stopped to take a picture with a kid, and he was the one literally was behind me and walked right past me.
That is Enes Kanter Freedom. Because remember LeBron James, who had said about Enes Kanter that, oh, you're throwing my name out there to get the notoriety, and then how come you didn't say nothing to me? Well, now we get the rest of the story.
I guess so. And you know me, I'm never on LeBron's side. However, there is pretty clear video evidence of LeBron on the court during, like, shoot-around or whatever, and Enes Kanter Freedom walks right by him. So even if you were taking a picture or even if you were in the tunnel, like, I feel like Kanter probably could have stopped him and talked to him if he wanted to. So that's just sort of like a weird little
Should he have
excuse.
Done it on the court, though? Is that a off-the-court conversation? Because what you're referencing is they were in warm-ups or they were, like, out there for the pregame shoot-around?
Yeah.
Or even if it's a, hey, come over here, let's go sit on the bench, something. Like, there would have been a way to handle
it. But Kanter's the one talking about LeBron, not the other way around.
Fair enough.
I feel like it's still on Kanter. And so if he paints this picture, he's like, oh, well, I was in the tunnel and he walked by me. It's like, yeah, but if you were taking a picture... What, now LeBron's going to sit around and wait for you and then be like, hey, let's talk it out? Like, Kanter should, or Freedom should be the one that goes to LeBron if he feels so passionately about this. And so I thought that was a missed opportunity by him.
We are going to get right back to the Patriots in the final hour. In fact, we're going to talk to you a lot at 617-779-7937. But tonight out in L.A., 10 p.m. East Coast time, it's going to be a rough one if you're trying to stay up, where the Celtics are at the Los Angeles Lakers, where LeBron James, current Laker and part owner of the Boston Red Sox and the Pittsburgh Penguins, by the way.
So we know who John Henry's rooting for tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Lakers.
I love the Lakers and Sidney Crosby.
It's all about my money.
Yep, so big fan of LeBron.
And this is now another spot for Jason Tatum to rise up a little bit.
TNT game. Brown's questionable.
I was just going to thank you. I was looking for the update on Jaylen Brown.
Last check, Jaylen Brown questionable. TNT game, I could see Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, whatever his prop is, probably take the over again.
41 tonight, we figure, for Tatum. Let me look up the prop number. That's a good call.
Because LeBron's missed half the games. Because it's funny, we mentioned Celtics-Lakers the other day. About how they're kind of a 500 team. And somebody responded, well, the Lakers are a 500 team. It's like, yeah, okay. But don't they have the feeling of a team that could turn it on a little bit more? And LeBron has missed half of the games. So they are an even 12-12. He's missed 12 games, so they're a little bit different. Although I don't think the Lakers are going to win the title. I really don't. They have too many old dudes, and I think once you get into a series with LeBron and Russell Westbrook on the court at the same time, not going to work. Not going to work.
So the Tatum prop for tonight's game with the Celtics, over under 27.5.
It's a lot. The only way I would go under is if you know for a fact Jaylen Brown's going to play. If Jaylen Brown's out, he's definitely hitting the over. Mm-hmm. There's just shots galore. He has to take shots, and I think he wants to. You know, anytime you're going up against another superstar, we saw it with Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. It was important for him to score a ton of points, and he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would probably take the over, even though that's up a couple points from what it was on Friday.
It is, that's right. Well, LeBron's at 24.5.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis at 22.5. Is Time Lord going to be able to slow him down, or the gaggle? I was just going to say, Horford, the gaggle of inside guys?
They've done a nice job on Joel Embiid, you know, and maybe they could do a nice job on Anthony Davis. That's one thing that I know this Western trip hasn't really played, or the Jazz game in particular didn't play out. But prior to that, they were playing really well defensively, and that sort of turned the season around a little bit. Not that they're this great team, but they were really headed in the wrong direction early on, and they at least righted the ship.
Yeah, and with the Lakers, they're almost like that NFL team who you know has a bunch of talent but suffered early injuries and like Tampa last year in a way.
Tampa.
Be healthy, get to the playoffs.
The Chiefs.
Yeah, and then we can kind of kick it into overdrive a little bit. That's what the feel is for the Lakers. Now, in terms of just the normal betting markets, it is Lakers -2.5. They are -140 on the money line. And the over-under tonight is only 220. And I say that because on this West Coast trip,
those two games, they've been points.
They
bonanza.
Gave up 137 to Utah and 117, I think it was, to Portland.
Right. Yeah.
And you got to figure that the Lakers are going to be able to, you know, that Tatum's
going
to
go over.
It's LA. Like you said, national television, LeBron.
I still think they just need to go two and three on this trip for me to feel okay about it. And they're 1-1. But they got Lakers, Clippers, Suns. So that's not an easy three games. And how about for us, poor Boston fans? It's just you had Monday Night Football, Western trip for both the Bruins and the Celtics. So it's just late nights galore.
It is.
I don't mind it, though. I'm not one to really complain about it. But it's just funny that all the teams are playing late all week long.
Yeah, I know. It's the necessary evil of the schedule. Mm-hmm. I know you're not going all Mad Dog Russo.
No, I don't care.
Can we put the game down where people can say a play?
I understand that in L.A. it's actually 7 o'clock.
The old.
So I don't think they need to play at 4 in the afternoon out there.
No,
I get it. I don't have a problem.
But I normally have the theory of everything you need to see in an NBA game, a non-playoff NBA game. Okay, let me clarify.
So set your alarm for 12:30.
Yep, just watch the fourth quarter. That's all I got to do, really.
Or midnight. Midnight.
Yep, record the fourth quarter, record the second half, and normally you're okay by just sort of watching what goes on in the final stanza there. But I am very interested to see the kind of effort that Jason Tatum puts out there tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Because, again, we don't want to say that there's kind of like that Rondo big game feel to him.
A little bit, though.
There is.
And I don't hate it. If that makes you a little bit more motivated in an 82-game season, good. Because there's a lot of primetime games. There's a lot of opposing superstars. So if you step your game up during those games, great.
Do we get a Jason Tatum Mamba reference after the game, considering they're playing the Lakers?
Correct.
I would think
100%.
So, too. Yep. 100%. Luke and East Greenwich, don't dare give up your spot in line. And folks, get in, because the Patriots took the soul of the Buffalo Bills and their Jack Wagon Bills Mafia fans last night. We've heard from Lawrence Guy. We've heard from Shaq Mason. Now time to hear from you at 617-779-7937. Let's just dump on the Bills after the Patriots, by the way, the number one seeded New England Patriots, went to Buffalo and got the win last night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.